Our next guest on Downtown is an Emmy Award winner for his work as Walter White on Breaking Bad. He was an Academy Award nominee for his role in Trumbo. And the last time he was on Broadway, he won the Tony for his work as Lyndon Johnson in All the Way. In the London production of Network, he won the Olivier Award, playing the mad prophet of the airwaves, Howard Beale. That show has now made its way across the pond to New York and is in previews now at the Belasco Theater. We're thrilled to welcome Bryan Cranston back to Downtown for a third time. Bryan, good to have you back with us. How are you?
Yeah, a little tired. We're hitting rehearsals during the day and then performances at night, as is part of the course for jumping up and doing another play on Broadway. Careful what you wish for.
Well, exactly.
Ooh, boy.
Well, the last time we talked with you, you were in rehearsals in London for the production there. Was this part of the plan all along to bring it to Broadway?
No, it was something that was discussed after our success in London, where we had sold out. We sold out before we even opened, which was surprising to me, but exciting. But I also wanted to find out if the play was working well and if my experience doing the play was fulfilling. And if that was the case, then I would consider bringing it to New York, because you don't want to commit too far in advance and have something turn out like, oh, no, why did I say yes? But I had a hunch it would be great, and I think it really is. I think it really tells a wonderful story. Very prescient, written back in the mid-70s by Patty Chayefsky for the movie of Network, and now for the theatrical production of it. And it's very current.
Well, yeah, for a show that was written 43 years ago, but of course back in the mid-70s, the idea that people would someday get all of their news and information from television was intended to be satire. Who knew other than Patty Chayefsky?
Isn't that something? And it deals with the manipulation of news and having it presented to the public in a packaged form that it's predetermined. So it's easily susceptible to an agenda. That certainly has become what we have, whether you're liberal or conservative. You have those outlets that do that appeal to your own specific ideology, and while that may make you feel good temporarily, is it really good? Is it news, or is it opinion? It used to be separate, and now it's all mixed into one, and it's hard to differentiate between what is opinion and what is news. So we have to be very careful about that. And don't take opinion as if they're facts.
Your character, Howard Beale, rails against what the industry is becoming. Do you see him as a hero, a victim, or perhaps a little of both?
I don't consider him either one. You know, when you play a character, I don't stand in judgment of the character. It's like you're living your life. It's like if you were to ask me, do I consider my own self a hero? Or it's like, what? No, I'm just an actor trying to find good stories to tell. And Howard Beale is a newscaster who either has an epiphany or a breakdown, and there's a thin line between the two. And it's ambiguous, and the audience can decide for themselves. I just want to be able to walk the line and be able to present it as honestly as I possibly can.
Now, I know in the London production, you were encouraging fans of the show to send in videos saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Is it part of the Broadway production as well?
Yes, we've already sent out the video, and we have citizens from around the world who have sent in little clips of saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And they are on stage with us So you'd have to come see it. Maybe your video made it up on Broadway and you'll be on stage with me.
Not the only audience members on stage, because you're offering, as part of this show at the Belasco, on-stage dining. Has that posed some interesting situations during previews?
It's such a crazy idea. We did this in London, too. The designer, Jan van Veeweld, I'm sure I'm mangling his name. It's Dutch, and I have the most difficult time in pronouncing the Dutch names. I finally got Ivo van Hove, our director, but that's a little easier. Anyway, Jan designed the set with a restaurant, a working restaurant. And I thought it was a joke. And I thought, well, you mean a restaurant, so all the actors are going to be sitting at the restaurant pretending we're patrons? No, they're real patrons. They're real people who buy a premium ticket to sit on the stage with us during the show and all through the show. It's a bold move, and I've asked the people who are actually in the theater itself, how does that feel when they see that? And since there is no actual curtain, when people come in to the show, they see the set, see the diners, and they accept it quickly, and then the show starts, and you don't really pay much attention to them. It's odd how well it has worked. And I would not have guessed that, but it's an interesting piece. It fits in some many ways, because in the story of Network, Howard Beale's news broadcast becomes it goes from being straight news to being a show, a piece of entertainment, which is what we see nowadays: talking heads arguing, fighting with each other, name calling, and walking off the set and all these things, all these histrionics. Well, his news program goes from the evening news with Howard Beale to being the Howard Beale Show. And when it becomes that, we welcome all the patrons who are not only on stage with us, but also in the audience, as if they are invited guests to watch a show, as if it were a sitcom in Hollywood, and you'd go watch them shoot this show. And so that's the idea, is to have that kind of interaction. And I do interact with the people on stage as well as in the audience, and it's a lot of fun.
Brian, does the immediate feedback you get from doing a stage role feel more fulfilling as a performer than the more delayed reaction you get from doing film roles?
Well, that's exactly it. The actual performing is far more engaging and fulfilling if you're doing stage work. For me, anyway, I can't speak for all actors, of course, but for me, it is, because you get to tell a complete story. A beginning, middle, and end every night. Now, the drawback to that is that a good stage play will have a heavy emotional content. So every night I go through an emotional, I get hit by an emotional bus. And I get exhausted, and yet it's exhilarating. So it takes its toll after doing 8 performances a week, and you have your one day off, and then you go back and you do it all over again. So, and I'm 62 now, so it's not as if I was a spry 58 the last time I did Broadway.
We're talking to Brian Cranston here on Downtown, in previews now at the Belasco Theater on Broadway, is Network by Patty Chayefsky. Everything, so much that was in this movie has come to pass. How long will it be before one of the networks adds Sybil the Soothsayer?
Uh-huh. Yes, and Pop Vox and all these other kind of interesting little ancillary characters who support the new entertainment that the news has become entertainment. But, you know, it also addresses interesting elements of our current culture, and that is the idea of being addicted to television.
Right.
And in it, Howard rails against his audience for just only 3% of you people read books. Only 15% read newspapers. And the only truth you know is what you get on your television. Well, that's still the truth, because the televisions have just gotten smaller. We hold them in our hands now. And by and large, that's how you get everything that you know, is what's on your iPhone. And that could be very dangerous. It ceases to develop a desire to have interactions in person and discussion. There's so much content and so many avenues for a person to venture down on today's technology that you, as they often say, you get lost. You fall down a wormhole and you're just like dealing with 6-7 different layers, and you forgot what you initially went on your phone to look up or read. It comes back to the same thing that people were railing against television when they were the big consoles in yours and my living rooms, and that is, they thought it was going to be the death of everything. And it's like, the new technology is fantastic. It really is. I mean, it is a wonderful tool, and it's exceedingly helpful beyond our wildest imagination. But it is still a tool, and the purpose of a tool is to use it. Once it starts using you, right, you've lost control. And so that's just, for me, that's always my reminder. My default mechanism when I have a moment of silence or breath is to go to the phone to see what's going on. And it's like, sometimes I have to catch myself and go, don't do that. Don't do that. Just keep looking at the architecture of this building, or look at that beautiful tree, or do some people watching. We've kind of lost that in our society.
You talked a little bit about the creative team, a wonderful cast as well, including Tony Goldwyn, Tatiana Maslany. It has to be a lot of fun to work with that group every night.
Very talented actors. I worked with Tony maybe 22 years ago on a HBO project called From the Earth to the Moon, where he played Neil Armstrong and I was Buzz Aldrin. So we're in Apollo 11 and negotiating how to do that and who should get out first. And it was a fun time all those years ago. And now here we are past middle age, and we're on stage together. He's such a terrific guy and a fantastic actor. He's really great in this role that William Holden made famous. And Tatiana Maslany, equally talented, taking on the role of Diana, who was played by Faye Dunaway in the movie.
We talked with your friend John O'Hurley the other day, and he told us that you two were at the last game of the World Series this year when the Red Sox wrapped up the championship. Now, I know you grew up as a Dodger fan. Have you changed allegiances?
In 1975, I became a Red Sox fan. As I'm always a Dodger fan. You want to stay true, and of course I am. So I had some conflict with this World Series. My biggest hope was that it would go seven, that it would be a really well-played, exciting series, and I was disappointed that it didn't, because it would have been great for baseball. Back in the day when I was growing up in Los Angeles, it was a National League city. And we only saw National League teams unless your team happened to make it to the World Series.
Right.
That was it. So we're kind of, it was really divisive between the National and the American League. And then 1975, the Red Sox were playing the Cincinnati Reds, and the Cincinnati Reds and the Big Red Machine were killing my Dodgers. So I wanted to root against them. And I heard the story of the Red Sox, a storied franchise, and and they hadn't won in a long, long time. And so I just became a Red Sox fan, hoping that they would win in 1975. They didn't, of course. But I've been, that was my American League team for many, many years, and still is. I still like the Red Sox. So I still have the Dodgers and the Red Sox as my team.
Well, we're glad that you at least split your allegiance. So we'll let you into Red Sox Nation. That's good enough for us.
Okay.
hey, by the way, now it's your third time on the show. So what that means is that you get preferential parking outside the studio here.
That's right. Well, I appreciate it. If I just see if there's a plaque, it's like, and you could just say reserved for guest.
That'll be you. It says guest, yeah. But it's you, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Brian, we thank you so much. Hoping to get to New York to see your show. Jeff Daniels has been on with us a bunch of times. My plan is to get there and see To Kill a Mockingbird and to see Network. I know it's going to be amazing.
You got to do it. It's going to be that's a great double bill there.
Yeah, it sure is. Absolutely. Well, break many legs. We wish you well.
Thanks very much, Rich. All talk right. to you again soon.